Betrayer by Aaron Dembski Bowden. Read by Jonathan Keeble.
Because we couldn't be trusted. The Emperor needed a weapon that would never obey its own desires before those of the Imperium. He needed a weapon that would never bite the hand that feeds. The World Eaters were not that weapon. We've all drawn blades purely for the sake of shedding blood, and we've all felt the exultation of winning a war that never even needed to happen. We are not the tame, reliable pets that the Emperor wanted. The wolves obey when we would not. The wolves can be trusted when we never could. They have a discipline we lack because their passions are not aflame with the butcher's nails buzzing in the back of their skulls. The wolves will always come to heel when called. In that regard, it is a mystery why they name themselves wolves. They are tame, collared by the Emperor, obeying his every whim. But a wolf doesn't behave that way. Only a dog does. That is why we are the Eaters of Worlds and the Warhounds no longer.
Eighth Captain Khan, from his unpublished treatise, The 18 Legions. Prologue. Istvan III. Skane was the one to find the body. He stood knee-deep in the dead, next to the wrecked hull of a Land Raider battle tank, his armor stained black by the sin of the weapons he wielded.
Kargas,
he voxed. His voice was tinny, laden with static. One of the enemy had caught him in the throat during the battle, and it had jarred his augmetic vocal cords. They'd need retuning once he returned to the Conqueror.
Kargas,
he said again, across the tomb-quiet Vox channel.
What?
His brother's reply was also flawed by static, but from more traditional Vox corruption rather than a bionic trachea.
Track my locator rune, said Skane. Get over here.
I'm busy. Look around you, Sergeant. You think you're the only one that needs my help at the moment?
Skane didn't bother looking. He knew where he was and what he'd see. He was at the heart of it all, and the dead numbered in the thousands. Most here wore armor the green of shallow oceans, cracked and shattered by the treachery of their former kindred. These were Horus's former sons, betrayed by their brethren and slain for their disloyalty. Among their number, armor of blood-stained white stood out like pearls among seaweed. Too many world-eaters had fallen here, though victory was undeniable. The city was dead in every direction, reduced to ash and rubble. A shadow fell across Skane, blocking out the weak sun as a Legio Ordax warhound passed with its rattle-clank stride, shaking the tortured ground. He lifted a hand to the war machine, receiving no acknowledgement beyond dull sunlight glinting on the Titan's Ursus claw spear. It stalked onwards, splayed feet grinding ceramite and bone and twisted iron into the earth, its wolfish cockpit lowered as it hunted for life signs and scanner scents among the dead and the dying. Skane turned back to the ruined tank, kneeling by its front end where the minesweeper plough was decorated in scratches and gore. A body, impaled on the dozer blade spikes, twitched in uneasy repose, its fingers still scraping in futility across the metal. Skane wasn't sure how the pinned warrior still lived, and doubted the trembling, bleeding figure would survive being pulled from the blade. Nevertheless, he spoke again.
Kargas!
He said for the third time. It took the apothecary several seconds to answer.
I told you I'm busy! Fix your own damn throat or shut up and wait until we're back aboard the ship.
Skane disengaged the seals at the dying warrior's neck, lifting the helm free with a hiss of released air pressure. The revealed face was pale, bloodstained from the lips down, the eyes open and blind, while the mouth worked in silent, wordless pain.
I've found Khan,
Skane voxed. This time there was no delay in Kargos's reply.
I'm on my way,